We are out of executive session, back in regular session, and we have scheduled a Missouri Department of Transportation update. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
For a few more minutes. Where shall we begin? And did you have some specific agenda items that we're going to talk about? Or?
I think our specific item had to do with the snow response.
Okay.
That's what you guys had requested.
Right.
And then if you've got any questions about the road projects that are coming up or anything, that's, we had an award last week, so if we have time, I'll go over that.
Okay.
So if you guys want to express your specific question, we can take it there.
And do you want to join us also? So that you can be heard.
I believe in previous meetings, one of the concerns was a snow removal winter operations map that we received, which a couple areas of concern within the county would be U.S. Highway 160 from Ozark County line to Kazee Mills, and then the area of 76 Highway running east. Both of these are main roads through the county, and that was one of our concerns. On your operations map, I don't think it's listed as continual maintenance, but you know, you can fill us in on what type of maintenance that you may be looking at for this winter, and we can go from there.
Okay. I've got this map here that's in front of me, and I've got a bigger one that if you want to, we can tape it up there, everyone could see. But this highlights the entire district that we have and how we chose the routes that are of highest volume, and also give us regionally significant movement of traffic in areas and counties. And we've been in this process. This will be the third winter that we have used this map to depict where we are placing trucks for what we call continuous operation. That's not continuous treatment. It's just those routes will have trucks on them throughout a storm. The vast majority of these would probably receive more of a salt treatment, but some of these also receive a mixed salt and rock or sand or something like that also for traction. But the misconception often is that they are continuously treated the entire route, and it's not, it's just obviously when it needs to be. There is a significant amount of routes that obviously do not have a truck that is assigned to them for the entire storm, and that's more what your question is particularly asking, that there is a difference of how we chose where we're putting our trucks and where we're not. Taney County as a whole has right now dedicated to it 18 trucks out of MoDOT's fleet. 14 to 15 of those will run those routes that are mainly around the western part of the county, around Branson. And again, that is driven by volumes. We have a map here to show you the volumes to see how we come up with those, basically where they come from. But from our previous discussion, the question was, what about 160? Probably the underlying question is, Reuter is no longer here. What are you doing is really what the question is. We did sell our Reuter facility this spring. And so we have went back and actually rediscussed what we could do potentially out of Bradleyville. We have three trucks that run out of Bradleyville. At this time, these three trucks, one will be dedicated to 125. That truck will run as from H all the way down to the state line. We have another truck that will make a loop and will come down and spend its operations on 160, running from 76 all the way into Ozark County. At the same time, when it can, capturing in the routes that come off of that. And then we have a third truck out of Bradleyville that heads down 76 and then also heads out east of Bradleyville on 76. When you look at our continuous operation routes, we run usually somewhere around 25 lane miles to a truck. The logic behind that is In a normal storm, we can run about 25 miles an hour. That allows us to pass a location at least once an hour. Ice storm, it's out the window. Heavy storms, that's out the window. But we plan for what an average situation would be. When you look at these other routes that those trucks will be on, I would say that when you look at that, your lane miles, of course, are much longer. But we do have the ability that there is a truck during the storm on those routes. So can I take an additional question that you have?
Give me your calculations again, if you would. You said you, you said 5 lane hours, a 5 lane, run through your calculations of usage so we understand that again.
For instance, we will try and place a truck where it gets about 25 lane miles is that truck's loop.
Okay.
So take, for instance, 65. It's easiest for a look at 65.
Right.
A lot of our loops on 65, those run somewhere around 17 and 18 miles in Taney County, the length of them.
Right.
There's 4 lanes.
Mm-hmm.
We put 2 trucks on it. So that's about 34 lane miles to the trucks that's on 65.
Okay.
We try and stay around 25, but it just depends on where turning locations are that allow us to really depict that number. Again, the logic being, we would like to have the ability to pass each location once an hour.
Okay.
When you look at the whole district, that's what we've taken the approach everywhere, so that at the end of the day, we have 286 trucks in the district. There's no one who's getting something necessarily greater than someone else. We all know our areas of biggest concern, I-44, our large metropolitan areas. We have to make sure that we've put those trucks in a responsible location. Then we look at our other routes. During a storm, as you guys are probably quite aware, when you fight a storm, you don't always just put salt down. There's times you want the material to work a little bit, and in those times, we have opportunities to run and hit other routes. All of these routes have routes that come off of them, so when the operator has the ability, he runs and he hits those routes. But when you look at your fleet, you have a certain amount of lane miles that each one of your truck runs in a given day, and how far it can travel and what it does travel. Again, I know my lane miles. I don't know what you guys use for yours.
Mm-hmm.
But we have made the commitment that we are going to hit all of our routes at least once in a 12-hour period. What that means, if the good Lord brings us one of those storms that lasts for 2 straight days, at some point, each shift, I have to tell the trucks on those major routes, you need to break off and go hit all these other routes at least once. Push it, treat with some kind of salt and rock mixture, hills and curves and intersections.
Mm-hmm.
That is a challenge, but that's a commitment we're trying to hold to. But particularly in Taney County, we have taken the concern and trying to work with that concern, particularly trying to help address some of these routes with a truck that will be on that route. But it doesn't take a whole lot of calculating. That's a lot of lane miles to those other trucks there. But it is a truck that's on that route throughout a storm instead of maybe in the middle of a storm breaking off or waiting until the storm is passed to get to those routes. Our past history tells us, gentlemen, that when a storm is done, within 2 hours, MoDOT has taken all of their continuous operation routes, 2 to 3 hours, and has taken those to a near normal condition. So the storm comes through Taney County. When it's passed through Taney County and quits precipitating, within 3 hours, we have got the routes to a near normal condition on those highlighted routes, and we have moved to the other routes. History tells us within another 2.5 to 3 hours, we also have made it across all the other routes, pushing them and treating hills and curves. Those other routes won't necessarily be at a near normal condition, but they will have been treated and pushed.
mileage, of course, I guess I've voiced an opinion about that, and mileage-wise, if you go through and you said that during an ice storm or something like that, that things were, when you said out the window, that means that you possibly could service it more or service it less whenever you say that the rules you set up are out the window.
Let's take, for instance, an example, and so we're not talking vaguely. If we talk about the blizzard, when the blizzard hit us, we were covered everywhere. We brought trucks to the interstate. We brought trucks into our urban areas. At that time, we have to make adjustments. So, yes, during a blizzard or an ice storm that it comes across that we're struggling making, you're not going to see our trucks as frequently as you would see a normal snowstorm that comes through. And I would have to say there is no other department that works in any other different way than that. Because when it's bad, we all know there are certain things when it's bad we're going to have to make sure that we're making those decisions to get to those locations and still get everywhere. So just to make sure I understand what you're asking me, you're asking that in a bad situation, am I not going to be certain places? The answer is, in a bad situation, we have to reevaluate our resources so that all the resources are in the most responsible location at that time.
Okay. I guess that's where I was. You could take out the window either way. As what I meant with what I meant by my statement was that coverage schedules would vary, maybe even to a more or less, whenever there was a snowstorm or an ice storm. That's the way I took what you said. But apparently, what you're saying is if you have an ice storm, then the more populated areas are going to see more coverage than the less populated areas.
Let's say that the interstate receives an inch of ice across all of it.
Mm-hmm.
There are more trucks going to the interstate, yes.
Right.
And that's when we look at our resources. What does Taney County do when there's an inch of ice on your routes? You reassign your resources. But to bring your point, every storm we evaluate to what the storm is and make adjustments to the storm, plus, minus, whatever that mm-hmm. is. We just start with anticipated routes that a truck is assigned to.
What we, our main purpose is for the citizen, and what our view is we're not asking on any of the other routes, but we do have major routes of 160 and 76 that need to be addressed, and we, as our Taney County road system, can drop the plows and help, because we're all here to serve the citizens. Correct. So when we're headed to a location of one of our roads, we can drop the plow and help assist in getting the roads clear faster. But for us to take on a responsibility, we would need to know that you, if it's an ice storm or something like that that's happening, that when you're driving through and it's icing and you're over here at point A and it's been icing all the way behind you in this lane, and when you finish up and you start back the other way, it's just as bad the way you went as you left, that we can assist and will not apply any chemical or any salt in those locations, because we've got county roads to take care of, but we're traveling that same road to get there, and it's doesn't do a person any good if they're on a county road and they come out to a state road and it's covered. And so that was my main concern, was that we get at least coverage on those U.S. highways of 160 and basically.
And you gentlemen, being experts within your own county, own it far better than me, you gentlemen know the difference of what 160 is and 76 versus all these other routes we're talking about in Branson. We know that it's a US 160, but you're aware of the significant difference in volume.
Right. We know.
And so, I mean, you guys just, in your own awareness, I mean, you know, when you talk about those routes compared to other routes in your county, the difference in the volume of traffic on those versus the other routes.
There are...
Any idea say that if this is a storm-by-storm occurrence and a very specific need, and we get a hold of them, we're going to be somewhat flexible if there's a special need. And I appreciate what you're saying. Yes, we certainly understand the difference in volume, where the people are at, and how much traffic there is. Then Dan had a genuine concern in that particular area, and I understand it.
I just want to make sure that a pooling of resources takes place if we're going to have to travel those roads anyway. And so if we don't, if we drop our blade and clear going out to a location off of your lettered roads, because most of the county roads run off your lettered roads, and you're not even, the way I understand the way your map is drawn, some of those lettered roads may go completely untouched.
No, sir.
They'll be covered once every 12 hours, like
yes,
you said?
Sir. Every route. We intend to hit every route at least once within a shift.
Okay.
And the thing would be is if you just, again, end up with something that none of us can control. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about. This is
a big storm. Big ice storm, something like that.
Right. We all plan for the average. We can't plan for extremes.
But I guess the thing that Randy needs to know, and this is Randy and for the work crews, is if you put treatment down and we're dropping a blade to get there, we want to make sure that we're not working against each other, that we're working with each other. And that's what my main concern is we've got a long stretch of federal highway that goes through our county, and we've got a long stretch of 76, which is the volume of traffic is probably as much as it is on 160, maybe even more. But I want to make sure that we work together, that we have, if we're dropping a blade going down 160 or off a lettered road, do we do it on the numbered roads or we do it off the lettered roads?
No, right now we're just assisting just on lettered roads.
Just on lettered roads.
Right.
Okay.
You know, as being a representative of MoDOT, I cannot tell you guys, you know, what to necessarily do and on a route that's not yours. I know in our other conversation with the counties, they have taken the approach anytime they can push, they push.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is a perspective thing, because I get calls all the time during a snowstorm. Truck went by us and the blade's up. At this point here, often you can't tell the difference between our trucks and any other one's trucks. You know, it's that perception thing. Why would there ever be a truck that ever goes by that's not plowing? But that's your choice as a county, what you choose or not to choose to do. We appreciate any help. You're not going to hear a complaint from anyone within MoDOT complaining about anything as a county that you guys choose to do. It's at that point, yeah, we're all trying to help and all trying to make a difference on those routes. But again, that comes down to your own decision.
Is there some kind of coordination between our road and bridge supervisor and yours as to when you're going to treat so that we don't come along and push the... That's where I'm at with my concerns is I don't want to you to come along and treat and us to come along and push it off before it has time to work and all those kind of things. So communication-wise is something that's very important, especially on the distances. Whenever we talk about 25-mile lane deal, we have greater distances.
Do you happen to know how many lane miles each one of your trucks is assigned?
I don't know. We've got assignments, but Randy, you'd have to answer that question.
Basically, I think averaging, our trucks are averaging about 20 miles per truck. Some's more, some's less, depending on the populated areas. The advantage you have, most of your routes are continuous with your truck, which ours are not. ours are doing a lot of what I call deadhead traveling, down your highways to the next road that may just be a dead-end road. So it eats up a lot of time with our trucks, but if there was continuous miles, it'd be a little handier to us, but they're not always that.
And when you take and you run your calculation from your shop and how many actual miles you physically run to run and push all your route, again, when you start running that, your ability to hit your routes, when it's all said and done, might be the same time it takes these three trucks I talked about mm-hmm. to actually make the loop that I'm talking about when it comes down to it. And that's what you have to look at. As far as knowing, you bet. We can give you the operator's name and contact number. We sure can. Each shift that's on that route, not a bit. We would love to, Randy. Not a bit of a problem. I'll tell you honestly, you're not going to get it perfect. We're going to hit hills and curves and intersections. You can just know that's what we're going to do, but we can share that name of that person with you. Not a problem. Day and night shift.
And you guys have worked in the past together. I mean, this is nothing new, but
right.
we're just wanting to continue that and make that function better. I mean, I know Randy's worked with Green Panther before, so.
Randy, do you have anything else regarding this issue?
Only that I hope we don't have a bad winter. Last winter was pretty easy.
So. It'd be nice to have another one of those.
And we do. Guys, we appreciate what you do. We appreciate what you push. We appreciate your willingness to help us out with fuel if that ever came about down there. In all reality, there's a lot of different, whether it's even a municipality that runs on a state route to get somewhere, there's a lot more than just MoDOT trucks that end up pushing state routes. And I don't know that we recognize or take time to say we appreciate that as much as we should, because we do. And whether a storm hits Taney County, the nice thing about it, when a storm hits Taney County, you've got the whole district that I can bring trucks in. You know, that is a difference that I have, that capability. But I plan for a storm on average hitting the whole district. But when it doesn't, it just benefits me that much more. I have all those additional resources to move. So, yes, if we have the bad one that, like a few years ago when the ice came across, mainly around south of I-44, I have that other resource. I can bring those trucks from the north and come in and make a difference and help. And that's obviously something we would do.
Right.
We have conference calls before every storm, what we're going to do, what trucks we're going to have out, what buildings we're going to have out. We decide that all up front. You guys are more than welcome to be involved, however you want to do, to listen, or I can follow up with an email. I think we need to be better at working together. I think we need to know what each other's doing better and understand what's going on. Because that's really where we're going to see a benefit in all this. If we stay in our own silos, we're not going to get any better.
I think it'd be great if we could be at least listening to the conference calls. I mean, if we haven't done that in the past, we need to do that. I mean, it'd be great to hear what your plan is. That would give us some insight
of
planning, too.
That would be good information to know so we're all on
right.
the same page.
Let's make sure we do that.
We'll get your email before we... I think I've got your card, but we'll get you at least on our email list, too, on weather and such.
That'd be good. I mean, what you've told us, it helps when we get phone calls and when they say, we haven't seen a MoDOT truck in 12 hours. Well, but rather young, okay, it's because you're not supposed to. If, you know, some, any more information for us, because we do, we all field calls when everyone thinks their road's the most important at that point, and you know, our job is to juggle resources, and so any information, it always helps us.
You guys, I have to anticipate you're trying to maximize where your resources are, what routes you're going to be on. And again, it's the same logic of how we have to resource and place our trucks.
Appreciate that.
A lot of perception with many people out there is there are no state roads, they're all county roads.
No, that is.
I get a lot of those calls.
We all
get
that.
We always thought it was the other way.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah. Some award?
Yeah, if we're done with the snow conversation, I'll...
I believe we are.
We had our first round of bidding and letting this past week. We'll also have some stuff coming up in October and November. But the majority of what affects Taney County was actually bid last week. APAC was the low bidder. I can't give you the figures yet. They have to confirm that the bids are good, and I'll let it just happen last week. So, but they're the apparent low bidder. Commission will vote, you know, next week whether to award or not, but everything right now looks fine. We have 160, and I think I've talked to you guys in the past about we're adding some turn lanes on 160, and all of those will be included with that overlay project. So we're going to change around the configuration there at F. Where F
you are, going to change the configuration?
Yes.
Okay.
Minor change, but hopefully that'll all work well. It looked like a fairly basic plan when I looked at it. So that's one of them, and then the other state routes along 160 will also be getting left turn lanes. So, and then we're also overlaying 265 and 165. So those will all be getting done. And then 176, basically from 160 going north towards 65.
Okay.
So, and all those were bid, I think, is one package, and that went to APAC. Or, well, it appears it will go to APAC if the commission votes on it next week. So.
Okay.
And that was my main thing.
What's the timing on the F-160 intersection?
These are all bid in the fall so that the contractors will know what they're doing next spring.
Okay.
And usually the asphalt projects will start sometime in late March, early April. The turn lanes, they'll have some asphalt involved with them. I don't know whether they'll choose to wait until then or not, but I would expect to see movement next spring and then through the summer.
You said the different turn lanes are one. Which ones are those that we'll see
the The number routes, 176, F, and then there's two other. I don't have a magnified map with me. I'll get you that information. I looked at it a couple weeks ago, but... I think we've got five of them all together.
The F-160 originally was a discussion you were going to stop one direction of traffic, and is that what you're planning to do?
Yeah, 160.
Okay, so you've already changed this.
Coming from the west, uh-huh. We'll actually have to stop that section that comes from 65. It will be a stop condition, and then they'll round that out, and so F and 160 flow together smoother, and they'll put an island that kind of divides off the other section of 160, so okay. It makes it clear that you need to stop.
So there, that's going to be a significant change for the commuters on that corner. So.
Yeah, and it's been one we've been asked to do for several years,
right.
So I'm glad we're going to be able to get
right.
it done.
Okay.
So. But our bids came in good. We have a process where we have a base bid,
mm-hmm.
and then we add on alternate routes, and depending on how much money... how the bids come in, then we can award those alternates based on how much, you know, how cheaply the base bid comes in. And bids came in good this year, so we're awarding all the alternates, which 165 was an alternate altogether.
Okay.
So we took a look at, we were going to do one alternate on the turn lanes, but then they took a look at the total cost of the project. We didn't have to acquire any right-of-way with the way they designed all the islands and the left turn lanes, and so... They ended up with no alternates on that, and it just came out that all the turn lanes are going to be the part of the package. So yeah, good, really good news.
That is good.
The timing on the bridge down here,
mm-hmm.
I know it's been delayed.
Yes.
During the last I heard was 217.
Yeah, I think that's what it's currently listed at in our STIP, in the planning document. I haven't heard anything new on that recently. I can check again, but I haven't heard anything new on that. I don't know if you've heard or not, but we're working on the bridge over at Shell Knob in Stone County,
mm-hmm.
and we're trying that out as it's a deck replacement. Will be similar to what we need to do here, and we've actually put guardrail down the middle and put that to a one-lane bridge. And you know, depending on how well that project goes, we may try to do something similar over here because that bridge is actually longer, I think, than this bridge. So if it works well there,
so the possibility is that we could have continuous traffic.
Yeah, we're looking for ways to make sure we have access. That's just one of the possibilities for making that happen, but we are definitely looking for ways to provide access year-round.
Okay.
So there might be a transition period or something where they absolutely have to shut traffic down for, you know, just a few days or something, but that's what we're looking at, is to try to avoid that even if we can. So.
That's one of the main questions that we have now.
Yeah, we heard the feedback on that, yeah. So we're looking real hard at finding a way, because there's no good way to get around. Same way with Shell Knob. I mean, it was an hour, I think, to you know, if you can't use 39 Highway through Shell Knob, it takes you an hour to go around
right.
to get to the other side. So, and I think you guys were in a similar situation, about 40 minutes, I yep. think, or something like that. So,
we get lots of feedback on that county road and bridge also.
Well, if you come up with a good solution, we would love to hear it. Anything else?
I don't have anything else.
Yeah. Appreciate the meeting.
Thank you guys for taking time.
Hopefully it's helpful. I appreciate y'all taking your time.
Sure. Need to give Randy those numbers we talked about out in the hall there, if you don't care.
Actually, we really appreciate the opportunity to meet with you all. I hope that we continue to do that. It certainly keeps us up to snuff. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
We'll recess for a second.
Let's stand in recess until 12:30. Until 12:20.
What do you got at the end?